Today's daf is Ayin Beis. We're starting 8 lines down, the 2 dots. I think Mar yesterday was discussing the fact that Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years did not get a Bris Milah. And for different reasons. One reason the Gemara had said on the bottom was because the weakness of traveling through the desert. The other reason the Gemara said was they didn't have the special Ruach Tzfonis that had the ability to heal, did not was not able to be blown in the Midbar because the Anani HaKavod would get dispersed. So the Gemara says now, Tana Rabbanan, Kol Osan Arbam Shana Shayu Yisrael B'Midbar. All 40 years while Bnei Yisrael was walking through the Midbar, Lo Haya Yom Shlo Nishba B'Ruach Tzfonis. There was not any day, meaning every day, had Ruach Tzfonis B'Chatzi Alayla. In midnight, this Ruach Tzfonis, this special northern wind blew, Mamash at midnight. And how do we know this? Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us, V'Hi B'Chatzi Alayla. It was at midnight. Hashem hikas kol b'chor. Hashem had killed, or at least hit, all b'chor. He didn't actually kill them. There's the beginning of Maseches Sofrim, Maseches Smachos rather, says that Kadosh Baruch Hu injected them with this type of lethal injection, if you will, that had a delayed effect. So although Kadosh Baruch Hu had smote them, if you will, at night and at midnight, they didn't die until morning. That's actually what it says.
It's the opposite what it says, what the writer says. Because it says here that there was not a day that it didn't blow.
Correct.
Referring to Lo Nashva like works for it in the previous writer. Kol Arbaim Shana, there was not.
Oh, yeah, you know, and that is true. But before we get to that point, let's prove that point first. So we see first, Akash Baruch Hu at midnight had hit the Kol Bechor. And then, so Gemara says, how do we see this, that there was no Ruach Tzfonis, though? What's the raya here from this pasuk? Before we get to the stira, so Rashi the Gemara goes on to say, "My Tamud, what's the chiddush? Hakamashvan comes to teach us the Ace Raton Milsi. Ace Raton is Milsa. Literally, it's a time of Raton is something significant. So let's look to Rashi here. Rashi writes, this is 6 narrow lines down. Ace Raton Milsi. Since midnight is considered an Ace Ratzon, have a Lemakas Bechoros, have a Nami Ace Ratzon, Lerach Tzfonis. Since it was an Ace Ratzon in regards to Makas Bechoros, which was an Ace Ratzon for us, for Klai, so it saved us. So it was also considered an Ace Ratzon in terms of the time of Ruach Tzfonis, which we said yesterday's daf was a special wind, a healing wind. It was also came at midnight. Vein Lechayom Sheruach Tzfonis. And there's no day that does not have this special northern wind come b'chatzi alayla. V'zeo haya simon leDavid, says Rashi, that this was the simon for David b'kinur, tali lo lemala mimitaso. He had this special harp that was hanging above his bed. V'nikva klapei tzafon, and it was directed in the way of north. Kevin shegiyah chatzas alayla, ruach tzfonis minashavas bo. The northern wind came, woke him up at layla, u'minagin bo, and it would, minagin me'elav, and it would play on its own. Hunari, he would wake up. V'hayd denakad hacha arbam shana. So why does it say 40 years? Lomar lecha she'afilu osan mem shana, she'nezufim hayu. Even though for 40 years they're nezufim, they're considered shunned from a Kadosh Baruch Hu because the chayda egom, lo nishba lehem yam nishba lehem b'chatzas alayla. So even though at daytime they didn't have a ruach tzfonis, at nighttime they did have this, Bishum de Ace Rasan Hu. So even though we're times of the Harbun, we still have at midnight, which what many of the Mechubalim do, at midnight they wake up because that's considered the Ace Rasan, that time. Exactly. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Huna, Davar Torah. Davar Torah, different topic now, though related to Bris Milah. The Davar Torah is that Mashuch Ochel B'Tshuma. What's Mashuch? So look at Rashi. Mashuch is someone who's Mahul. Person who had a proper Bris Milah but wanted to hide that, so it was Nimshachar Laso, he extended in order to cover a Tara. So such a person, Davar Torah, he's allowed to partake in Truma, says the Gemara, because he has a Bris Milah. But the Chum came along and goes there that such an individual should not eat Truma because he looks like an Ara. So that's Halacha. And Davar Torah, it's Mutter, only Midir Banan is a Mashach Aser. What? Yes, I'm not sure who. I don't know how they walked around. The base of Merchatz, possibly. Remember back in those times that there wasn't, people didn't have their own bathrooms and their own showers. They went to a public area, so people, saw. So I guess that was the issue. So Gemara says now, Meisive Mashuch Tzarech Shimol. So the halacha is that Mashuch has to get a Bris Milah. That's the rule. So we see that he, in fact, he needs the bris milah must be that midiraisa he's considered an arel. Whereas it says no midirabanan, it's only midirabanan. Midiraisa already got his bris milah when he was 8 days old. This is just a din midirabanan. So it's karli my karli, of course. What's the chiddush? Why would you think otherwise? That was certainly the only way to read that brisa. No one would think a person who had bris milah requires a second bris milah later on when he's 45 years old. No one would ever think that. Of course, that was midirabanan. The Gemara says, "Tzarach katani." In fact, it says "tzarach" sounds like it's din midirbanan tzarach, as opposed to it doesn't say chiyuv, it doesn't say he's chayv to get a bris milah. It says tzarach, he needs one. It sounds like it's only din midirbanan. So that's pretty pashut. Gemara says, "No, katay b'seifa." They made a mistake in terms of understanding the seifa of that brisa. You're right. At the beginning of this brisa, the fact that he needs a milah, that's pashut, that's midirbanan. But the seifa in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Lo yimol b'pnei shekana shesakana hilo. Such an individual should not get a bris milah second time, if you will, because it's sakana, says Rashi, shema yase kros shifcha. It might become a kros shifcha, and everything might get cut off, and therefore maybe one shouldn't get it. So Amrullah, they respond back to Rabbi Yehuda. Halo harbi malu b'mei ben kusiva v'holidu banu m'banos. In the times of ben kusiva, and Rashi tells us who Ben Koziva is.
Shimon Bar Kochva.
That's who this is?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I don't think I knew that. Shimashchem Ovne Kachavim, Beones, Bekrach, Beyeser. So Ovne Kachavim forced the Yidden to do this, become Beshuchim. The Gavru Yad Ben Koziva, I guess Bar Kochva now, he became he defeated them. Vinilcham Behem Vinitzcham. He ruled for 2.5 years over Klai. So these individuals who are now Mushuchim end up getting a second Bris Milah. And yet we still see that Holidu Ban Muvano, says the Gemara, Shinemar, Himol Yimol, that you're supposed to receive Bris Milah as many times as you need to receive the Bris Milah. That's part of the Torah. And furthermore, it says, as Brisi Hefar, the Rabbos as Hamashach. Pasuk says, and person, if he will desecrate my bris milah, that includes even a person who's mashach, who received the bris milah, but ended up being mashach, he's also going to be desecrating our bris. And my v'omer, what does it mean the omer? So we see from this right now, that this conversation, that the person, there's no concern of a sakana. There's no sakana. We see the times of Bar Kochva that many people got the second bris milah and were able to have children. So there is no sakana. That was the response, and therefore you need to have a bris milah. And then the Gemara goes on to prove from two sources that a person who's mashach has to get a bris milah. It sounds like it's a din d'araisa, the fact that they bring psukim. Now before we address that point, the Gemara goes off slightly on a tangent. Mai va'omer, why va'omer? Why do we need a second pasuk here? So Gemara, mai va'omer. Gemara brought two psukim. Remember where we are, wherever we left off. Mai va'omer. Right, mai va'omer, the next words.
Who's saval?
You're reading the commentary. Read the bold.
I don't read the bold. Usaval, Midka,
so you skipped a few lines. Go back up.
Oh, that was it.
So my va'omer. Yeah. So what does va'omer mean? So why do you have to bring a second pasuk? What was wrong with the first pasuk? It says himol dimol afil me'apamim. So why do you need the second pasuk as brisi hefar? So Gemara says v'chitema hay himol dimol. Maybe the pasuk of the double lashon get a bris milah many times. The rabbi sits in hamakman sent milah. Maybe that's telling us if a person underwent a bris milah and there is some of the arla left, so that even then you have to go back and remove those leftover skin. That's a himol dimol. But maybe a mashach person who had received the full bris milah and that was mashach, maybe he would not need to go back. Tashma, that's why we need a second pasuk. It's brisi hefar. The rabbi says hamashach. Even a mashach requires a second pasuk. So we see from here who savor midekun nasiv lehashas kraderai. So the fact that the brisa is seeking out psukim tells us that's a din deraisa, that a mashach requires a bris milah. It's not only a din derabanan. Remember above, Rav Huna told us that midderaisa mashach is allowed to eat truma. Only midderabanan we say he can't eat truma. Here it sounds like even on deraisa level, a mashach is considered an aro. The Gemara says, "Lo, he not true. Midirbanan v'kras smachta b'almi. These sources are simply that smachta, and the fact that a mashach requires a bris milah and doesn't eat truma is only a din derabanan. But midiraisa is considered a full-fledged mal and may eat truma." Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Meis." He asks the following question: "Tumtum einocha v'chumchum. Tumah. A tumtum is a person who the gender is unclear what the individual is, whether it's a boy or girl. The area is covered, not you can't see. So what's the halacha about a tumtum? He cannot eat truma. Nashav, his wife, avad of his servant, slaves, ochlin, are allowed to eat truma.
Are we talking about Kohen, tumtum?
Exactly. Otherwise, exactly. It couldn't be a Yisrael. Only a Kohen could eat truma. So if a Kohen happens to be a tumtum, he cannot eat truma. His wives and his avadim, ochlin, they are allowed to eat truma. Mashuch, a person who is this din of a mashuch, v'nola kishumal, person born without a bris, without a need for a bris milah, he's already born mahol. Hare elu ochlin, these individuals also may eat truma. Androgynous, a person who has both genders, ochel b'truma, may eat truma. Vein ochel b'kachim, but he's not allowed to eat in kachim. And a tumtum, eino ochel, lo b'truma, lo b'kachim. And a tumtum, again, we're mentioning once again, he can't eat truma, and he also cannot eat kachim. So we're going to analyze a little bit each of these different parts. But for right now, katani mias, one of the things it says in the Braisa is that a mashuch, nolad kushumahol, hare elu ochlin. So we see a person who is a mahol, so a person who is a mashuch, may eat truma, tiyufta de Rav Huna tiyufta. Rav Huna paskin above, midiraisa, mashuch is allowed to eat truma. But the Chacham instituted a gzeira, they can't eat truma. But this brisa flies in the face of Rav Huna. This brisa says there's no restriction. A mashuch across the board is allowed to eat truma. There's no din midirban. And end off as a tiyufta Rav Huna. Now, despite the fact that it's a tiyufta, it seems like we paskin like Rav Huna, but just looking above, that little aleph by the words Davar Torah, sounds like we paskin like Rav Huna. But I didn't look into this.
Interesting.
Okay. Mar now says, Amar Mar, we're quoting from the Braisa we said above. The Braisa told us that Tumtum eino ochel b'truma, a Tumtum may not eat truma. And the reason why is because he might be, look at Rashi, see Rashi, Tumtum eino ochel b'truma. It's a few lines up where it's around halfway down the Rashi's.
How does it start?
Tumtum eino ochel b'truma. It's right around the same height as the Tosfos di Ramaschalim Divrehem. Right around there. Tumtum eino ochel b'truma. Shema im haya nikra. Perhaps if they rip the area over, I don't know what it looks like, but something you can't hide. So when you open up the skin and you see what gender this child is, so yim tzachar, it might turn out he's a boy. And if he's a boy, he requires a bris milah. So since we don't know what he is yet, and if he's a boy, he might be an Ariel, he's not allowed to eat chuma. So the Gemara says now, Nashiv va'avadav ochlim. His wives and his servant slaves are allowed to eat chuma. Nashiv la'tumtum minole. How does a tumtum get married? Ilema de Kaddish. We don't know what he is. That area is completely covered up by some extra skin, let's say.
But he knows.
He doesn't know. He himself doesn't know. He's born in this some type of thing where it's closed and hidden. You have to...
Nashav is an adult, like he's minimum 9, no?
And Nashav is a woman.
I know.
His wife,
it's
yeah.
His wives.
Right.
In order for him to have wives, he needs to be...
This is the Gemara's question. Gemara wants to say, how do you have a case where Tumtum is married to an Isha? So forget Nisun. There's no Bia. But they got engaged. They did Kedushin. Kesef Kedushin. So what exactly, how does that happen? Manola, how does he have a wife? Ilema de Kaddish, if he just simply marries her, here is Kesef Kedushin, marry me. Detanya, Tumtum, Shekidish, Kedushiv, Kedushin. If a Tumtum does get married, it's an effective Kedushin, it works. Niskadish, Kedushav, Kedushin. The fact that we say Bidyevit, it works. That's simply Emer de Amar l'chumra. We only acknowledge it as being a Kedushin, regarding chumras, that let's say you can't marry a sibling of theirs. The siblings are all usher. But lakula miyamrina, are we going to say lakula that we're going to allow such a woman to eat chuma now? We don't say this as a kedushin across the board. We don't know if it's a kedushin. We have no idea what the status of this tumtum is. So we're going to have to be chumra in every single direction that maybe it's a good kedushin and they're going to be usher to each other's siblings. And maybe it's not a good kedushin that the wife shouldn't be able to eat chuma.
Confusing. Meaning tumtum is all woman or man?
Exactly. We just don't know.
Okay, but the sound is the way it looks.
I don't know what a tumtum looks like. I don't know. They are. It's a suffix. Either way, whatever the tumtum is, it's a suffix, unclear the gender of this individual, and therefore when he attempts to get married to a woman, We say it's good kedushin l'chumra, whereby they're now both going to be ushered to each other's relatives as if they were married, but we're not going to view this as a vade marriage, whereby the wife can now eat truma from her. It's going to be a chumra in both directions. So that's the question. How could it be then that the wife of a tumtum could eat truma? It's only a safek kedushin, and we're not going to allow her to eat truma. So Gemara says, miyam rinan safek ishahu. Vein isha mekadeshes isha. Safek isha. She's only a safek. Vein isha mekadeshes isha. It's only a safek what the status of this tumtum is. And if she's an isha, or if it is an isha, this tumtum cannot marry an isha, a woman. So we can't allow midin safek for this wife, if you will, to eat shuma. So how could there ever be a case of a wife of a tumtum? So Amar Baye says that there are different types of tumtums. The tumtum we're talking about here is kisha beitav nikeres min b'chutz. So you recognize the gender because the beitav are on the outside. Now, if that's the case, I'm not sure what the suffix is anymore. It's possible it has both genders also. So again, I don't know what the makeup of these things are, these individuals. But either way, since it's most likely that it is a male, therefore that allows the wife to eat truma. Rava says differently. Rav Amar, my nashav. Nashav doesn't mean a wife like we would typically understand it to be. Nashav means imo, his mother. The tumtum's mother is allowed to eat truma. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course, his mother's married to a kohen. So Gemara says, Mao the same, and what would you have thought? Nolid machil, shena molid, eno machil, kamashmalam. Halacha is, let's say her husband dies. So we said if she marries a kohen, she's allowed to eat chuma. If her husband dies, she can't eat chuma anymore. But if she has a child, then her child is allowed to be machil her. The halachah is only if the child is able to be molded, could he be machil upwards. But if he can't be molded downwards to have children, then he can't be machil upwards either. Kamash blan, that a mother of a tumtum may eat because of the tumtum him or her or itself. Okay.
May or may not.
The mother may eat, okay. Because of tumtum.
We don't show what's his status.
Exactly. Even though tumtum himself can't have children and can't give others to eat below him to have children, but he can be machil upwards to his own mother.
But that it's special.
Right. Okay. Then the Gemara says, last narrow line of the page, Tashma tumtum eino ochel lo chuma lo b'kachim. A tumtum may not eat chuma and may not eat kachim. So we already said in the beginning that tumtum can't eat chuma. In the beginning of the Brisa, why are we repeating tumtum again? So Bishmalabai, this all makes sense. According to Baye, Baye said that we're talking about in the beginning a kishabeta of mibuchos. Tana reisha arel vadai. V'ktani seifa safik arel. The reish is talking about where the tumtum was a vadai, had a vadai arel. Vadai arel. The second case is we don't know what he has. What if he has both, none, one, we don't know what's down there. But the first case is where there's Arel Vada, he's definitely an Arel, and he's not allowed to eat Truma. The safest talking about a case, even if there's a Suffolk Arel, he might even be a woman, maybe not, even by a Suffolk Arel, he's not allowed to eat Truma. El Rava, but according to Rava, who says Tumtum, the safe alumni, why do you have to have a second mention of a Tumtum? The first case is, we're not talking about different types of Tumtums, we're talking about Tumtum across the board. And the halacha was, or the Resha, that although the Tumtum himself cannot eat, he can be Machil, his mother. So why repeat the same dimna of a Tumtum in the Seifa? So Gemara says, my tumtum, arel. So what's a tumtum? Tumtum means an arel. An arel gamor. Tumtum means closed. Arel means closed off. So tumtum means be closed off.
So what's the tumtum?
The tumtum is lashon from sealed or covered, I think. Isn't it? Is that the Hebrew word? You know better than I do.
In Hebrew, it's a curse.
Right.
It's like it's stupid or something.
Tumtum halev. His person has machal tasur. It's a tumtum halev. It affects somehow. It closes off the heart.
I wonder who's metumtam in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew. I'm sure it came from the Gemara.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, for sure, not possibly.
Okay. So according to him, what happens is the second tumtum, the second mention of tumtum is referring to an arel vadai. So Gemara says, wait a second. Hash to suffik arel. If you're telling me the first mention of tumtum in the Brice is talking about a suffik arel, we don't know what he is at all. And he can eat. Vade arel. Achel, would you have havina to think a person is a vade arel? Because now that we're saying the seifa, when we say tumtum, it doesn't mean tumtum like we normally use it. It means tumtum meaning an arel that's closed off. So vaday aral, certainly you can't eat. The Gemara says no. Ma tam kamar. It's explaining the reason behind it. Ma tam tumtum eino ochel b'truma. What's the reason why tumtum cannot eat truma? Mipnei safik aral, and he's a safik aral. If the aral eino ochel b'truma v'lo kachim, then we know in general an aral can eat truma and kachim. So here too also a tumtum who's a safik aral, he also may not eat truma, and that's how Rava would read this brisa. Okay, the Gemara now wants to know, going back to the discussion of Mashach. We went into a little parenthetical discussion about Tumtum. Now we're going back to Mashach. The Gemara says, Lema Ketanai, three lines from the bottom, Lema Ketanai, maybe the discussion about Mashach is in fact a Machlokas Tanai. Mashach, the Gershin is Gair Kishumal. So a person who's Mashach, we know that is already. A Ger, who already had a Bris Milah when he was non-Jewish, and now converted, but he turned out he doesn't need a Bris Milah. The katan shavers mano, and a katan who is having a late bris milah. Vishar, right? I think that's what's talking about. Shavers mano.
Yeah.
Okay. Vishar kol nimolim, and all other nimolim lasuimi the mishieshlo shte aralos, and someone who has two aralos, who one or on top of another or they already received one bris milah, but now needs a second arla to be removed. All these einam nimolim elbayom, they have to receive a bris milah during the daytime. So we understand all the cases. A katan she lobizmano requires a mila bayom. And all the other cases require a proper bris mila. But the mashach already had the bris mila. So you see from here the fact that we're limiting it to dafka bayom tells us that even the mashach has a din deraisa of receiving a bris mila yet a second time. That's according to the Tanakhama. Then comes along Rabbi Elazar ber Rabbi Shimon Omer, bismano in the proper time, ein animal el bayom. When it comes to the proper time of the bris milah, the eighth day, in other words, so then he only gets it during the daytime. Aval shlo b'zmano, if it's a milah that's after the proper time, nimolim b'yom uvalayla, then he could receive it even b'layla, you could receive a bris milah. So you see that a mashuch could receive it even by bris milah. So my lav, the Gemara says, my lav b'hakim b'lifli, are they not arguing about the following din? Dimar sever, the Tanakhama held, mashuch is deraisa, that's why you have to do it only b'yom. And that's why you could even do it by Laila. Because Midiraisa and Brish Mila can only take place during the daytime, not during the nighttime. Exactly. So Gemara says, Vitizvara, does that really make sense? You could really think that Katan Sha'avar Zmano Mi'ikil Man Damar Derbanon? Would anyone say if the child lost the eighth day, couldn't get the Brish Mila eighth day, it gets to the ninth or tenth day, it's only a Mitzvah Mila Midirabanon? That's certainly not the case. Everyone agrees, Mashach Derbanon. The Katan Shavar Zmano Midiraisa, and certainly a Katan who has a delayed Bris Mila would certainly be a Din Deraisa. So what's the Machloka is whether a delayed Mila could be done during the day or during the night. They're arguing about the following drasha. Mar Savar Darshin Uvayom, Umar Savar Lov Darshin Uvayom. So you look at top Rashi here on the page. Mar Savar Darshin Uvayom, that word, Vav Yisera, it's an extra Vav. Just say Vayom. What do you mean Uvayom? It's an extra vav. The matzil mechtav bayom hashmini imol yaksev vayom. The extra vav lasuim mila shlo bezmano to include that even a shlo bezmano mila needs to be done bayom. That's the extra vav. V'yafa gav the mashach mahalom misrabe the hadir b'danhu ubasach. Fine, we don't need to go through that right now. Okay, so that's the question: whether or not the extra vav of uvayom includes the mila shlo bezmano.
I'm sorry. What is the machloket exactly? The writer said clearly bayom.
No, that's only according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon felt that even Balayla.
Bismano, any mulim el bayom.
Right, but Shalom Bismano, the Rabbi Elazar says it could be even Balayla.
Ah, okay.
So what's machlok is whether a delayed bris milah can be done Balayla. That depends whether you make a drush of the letter Vav. Bayom Hashmini, the eighth day, bris has to be during the daytime. What about a late bris? If you darshan the letter Vav, Uvayom, that tells me even a late bris will have to be done during the daytime. If you are not learning the letter Vav for anything, that means only the eighth day has to be during the daytime. But a delayed bris can be done even Balayla. That's how the Gemara concludes. So look at the top Tosis for a second. Dibur Maschil, Ein Nimol El Bayom. That you can only get the bris mila Bayom. Hiksha Harav Ephraim, Damai Itzrech Perakam at the Kedushin. The end of the first Perak of Kedushin tells us, Osov Lo Osa, that only a man can give a bris mila, but not a woman. A woman, a mother, is not obligated to perform the bris milah for her son. So Gemara says, the Tosa asks, to have a mitzvah aseh shezman grama, bayom v'lo b'layla. So we're learning from this Gemara that you can only give a bris milah during the daytime. We have another reason why women cannot give the bris milah. It's because the mitzvah says, "Asay shehazman grama." It's a time limited mitzvah which they don't. They're not chayven. Yesh Lomar says Tosfos still Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Itzrich. According to Rabbi Elazar Bar Yitzchak, who held Rabbi Elazar Bar Shimon rather, who held that they need for him. Let's see. V'had inima l'shmona lo chashiv zman grama. Came to Mishon of Eilech Chol Shait de Zmanahu.
What are you reading?
Reading in Tosfos. So he's saying that according to him, so since after the eighth day, you could give it even Balaila, even at nighttime, you're able to give the Bris Milah, so it ends up not being a Mitzvah Saseh Shehazman Grama, because once the eighth day hits, you could give the Bris Milah any given time. So Mitzvah Saseh Shehazman Grama cannot be a Patur, because there's no limit anymore of time. That's why they have to fall back on the other drush of Oso Vlosa.
So what's the question? Am I time of Tirini Shami Tzitzit?
That's the reason why women are part of Tzitzit, because the Mitzvah Saseh Shehazman Grama. So to use that same Patur, Mitzvah Saseh Shehazman Grama, to exempt them from the Bris Milah.
But Tzitzit is all the time.
To midirai, so you only have to wear them during the daytime.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, balayla lo.
Right. But we pass him to wear them balayla also, but machokas Russian Rambam had to understand the psur to a layla. Might be a ksus layla, maybe only pajamas that you wear during the daytime would be putter. But regular clothing you wear at nighttime, even though it's nighttime, is chai because it's a beged shayom. Okay. The Gemara now says, kihad di yosiv, similar to that which when Rabbi Yochanan was sitting down, the kadarish, and he was making the following drasha. Noser bismano ain nisaf el bayom. If you're going to burn noser, noser is a leftover of kudshim. So you're supposed to eat, say, shlamim, for example, in 2 days. You have 2 days and one night to eat shlamim. And now it's left over to the third day. You're supposed to burn it the morning, the following morning, where you're not allowed to eat it anymore. So if it's bismano, you're burning that very next morning where you can no longer eat it. You have to do dafka bayom. But then, says Rabbi Yochanan, if it's shlo bismano, if it's delayed, let's say, to the fourth or fifth or on, then nisraf bein bayom bein balayla, then you could burn it during the day and even during the nighttime if you need. So similar thing to here also, bisman bris milah the proper time only bayom, but after that point you could give the bris milah even balayla. Very similar model. Eisvei Gemara asks Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar challenged Rabbi Yochanan with the following brisa: Ainli el nimol l'shmini shein nimol el bayom. I only know that on the eighth day has to be dafk bayom. Minayin the rabbos letisha lasar lecharasar leshneimasar v'chule. How do I know 11th, 12th, and so on? All the other days that get a bris milah, if it would be delayed bris milah, that would also require to be bayom. Tamal amar uvayom, uvayom the ekshavav. So we see from here that uvayom vafil mandel darish vav v'hei darish. So even according to the pinyin, who does not learn the ekshavav by uvayom hashmi by bris milah, an ekshavav and ekshavhei by Nosar, they will darshan. What is Vav and Hey by Nosar? You see Rashi? Vav Vhei? Kigon Viha Nosar. It didn't say Nosar. Viha Nosar. Two letters. Vav and Hey extra. Everyone's going to agree to make a drasha there to include that even a delayed burning of Nosar, even that will have to be Dafka Bayom. That's the question to Rabbi Yochanan. So again, Rabbi Yochanan felt Nosar only has to be burned during the daytime if it's Mamish the Vizmano. If it's a delayed burning of the Nosar, much later, then you could do it even by Laila, you could burn it. But the question is now, even according to the opinion by the Bris Milah, that did not learn an extra Vav to include a delayed Bris Milah, an extra Vav and extra Hey, two extra letters, they'll make a Joshua. And in the context of Vanosar, it says an extra Vav and extra Hey, that should include that even a Shalob Zmana Nosar should be burned only during the daytime. That was the challenge of Elazar posed to Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, Ishtik. He was quiet, he was completely silenced. Nothing to respond. So, Basa din Afik, after Rabbi Elazar left, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan turned over to his good chavrusa, brother-in-law and friend, Reish Lakish, Reisi, the Ben Padas, Shiyoshi Vidorish Kimoshi Mipiagvura. So, I see, this is, I guess, referring to Rabbi Elazar Ben Padas, that was his name. I think it's the Mishnah in Avos that talk about what a great level he was. So I saw that he was darshaning, and he was darshaning psukim, like Moshe Rabbeinu darshaned from hearing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself.
I still didn't understand what the drasha.
The drasha, there's an extra letter vav and an extra letter hey.
How they get from there that it needs to be in the
Whenever there's an extra letter, and certainly an extra word, it comes to include something. So what does it include? V'hanosar, so they say, must be coming to include that nosar of delayed nosars will also required to be burned only during the daytime.
Why specifically the daytime? Why did they...
No, because that's what the Pasuk's talking about. The Pasuk says... Oh, they don't quote on the side here? Interesting. Okay. Rashi quotes a Pasuk, I think. It says, I don't have the whole thing, but Yom HaShlishi... Why don't they quote the whole Pasuk here? Hold on a second. Okay. I don't have the whole Pasuk, but this Pasuk, Vanosar, is talking about burning the Nosar during the daytime. That's what the Pasuk's Mamash is talking about. So the extra Vav and Hey in that Pasuk talking about Bayom... What's it coming to include? It's coming to include that even a delayed nosar has to be done by Yom. And everyone should agree to that. So Rabbi Yochanan, there's no response to Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. He looks at Reish Lakish and says, this individual ben Pedas, the son of Pedas, is quite amazing. He's darshaning the Torah like Moshe Beinu heard it from the Guru, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Some relay Reish Lakish.
He says this is all disparaging.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't answer him because he said, this guy's making this stuff up. It's like, what? There's no brises, there's no missions. He's making this up out of thin air, like he heard it from Moshe, from Hashem.
Oh, wow. That, from, reading from Rashi, I don't get that impression at all. Did they say who says it that way? It could be that's just the understanding the conversation.
It says Rashi. Yeah. At the very, very end of this long thing, it says, parentheses Rashi. I don't know if that means the whole thing. It's from Rashi.
Okay, so I don't see that in Rashi, but okay. So, to that, Reish Lakish turns over to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Reish Lakish didyei, do you think that's his own? I guess based on this response, do you think that's his own? He's making it up? Masnitzni, don't give him a hard time. He has a brisa that says this. Heichatanala. So, where do you find such a brisa? B'Toras Kohanim. In Toras Kohanim, which is the Medrash on Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, it's called Toras Kohanim. If you look there, Nafik Tanya B'Tlas Yoma, V'Savra B'Tlas Yirche. They went out and found it. They found the Toras Kohanim. And it said 3 days, and he thought it said 3 months. Who thought which way?
Because he learned Toras Kohanim in 3 days, and then he really delved deeply into it for 3 years.
Wow. He just went through Toras Kohanim for 3 days, and then went through it. So I guess after not knowing it, Ryokhan said, I should have learned it better. So he took his time out and spent 3 days to Bekias to run through, and through 3 months to go through his Svara. By the way, this is a tremendous, tremendous aids in learning. This, you find many things like this throughout Shas, that they first went through things very quickly, Bekias-wise, to get exposed to certain things. You're not going to fully understand everything. When you go through Shas quickly, you're not going to understand everything, but you have a good exposure to it, an overview, and then you start going and delving in much deeper. You find this many, many places. So this is another example of that. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ariel Shehiza Hazasel Ksheira. We saw this, I think it was yesterday's daf, and Ariel, who receives, or rather, he does the sprinkling of the paraduma. It's a good paraduma. It's a good sprinkling. So if he does the hazah, it's a good hazah. Okay. So Gemara says now, Mide dehava ativa yom. It's no different than ativa yom. Ativa yom is a person who went through the process of becoming tahor from a certain tumah, and he went to the mikvah, and the only thing he's waiting for, the last thing he's waiting for, is for sunset, for shkia. So until Shkia sets in, he is considered a Tful Yom.
Who did the Hazah? Arel himself or somebody did for him?
The Arel did it on somebody else, I think. That's how we're understanding this.
Arel says the other way around.
Oh, yeah? Let's see.
Yesterday was it was done to him. Now the question is, can he do it?
Right, exactly. Today he's doing it. The Arel is doing it to somebody else.
He's doing it.
So just like it says, it's no different than a Tful Yom, that Afa Pisha Asar B'Truma. Even though Tuva Yom cannot eat Truma until sunset, Kashir Bapara, he's allowed to be involved in the Paraduma and do the sprinkling. So here too also, even though the Ariel, as we said before, cannot eat Truma, and he can only not eat Truma on a Durabana level. No, I'm sorry, Duraisa level. That's a Mashach. An Ariel cannot eat Truma on a Duraisa level, yet he could still be able to do the Hazah, no different than a Tuva Yom. Gemara says, Mal Tuva Yom, you can't, Mal Tuva Yom, Shekein Mutter B'Meister. Wait a second, you can't bring a comparison. There's a certain kula that exists by Tivul Yom. The Tivul Yom, once he goes to the mikvah, even though it has not yet been shkia, he's allowed to eat meiser. He's allowed to eat meiser sheni, as opposed to a Ariel cannot eat meiser sheni. So we have kulas that exist by Tivul Yom that don't necessarily exist by an Ariel, so maybe an Ariel cannot do hazah. Gemara says, Atu anon lachi lekaminan. I'm not talking about eating. We're talking about touching the paraduma. Eating is a different category. The fact that a Tvayom could eat Maisa Sheni has nothing to do with the fact that an Ariel can touch and be involved in the paraduma. Completely different conversation. You can't ask a question like that. So, Ma Tvayom She'asa B'negia D'chuma Mutter B'para Ariel She'mutter B'negia and Din She'mutter B'para. So this is the Kal V'chomer you're supposed to be making. A Tilo Yom, who's not allowed to even touch Chuma, he's still considered Tameh with respect to Chuma. He can't touch it, yet he's allowed to do the Paraduma. An Ariel who may touch a Chuma, an Ariel's not Tameh, he's allowed to touch Chuma, even though he can't eat it, he can touch it. So an Ariel who can touch Chuma certainly should be able to be involved in the Paraduma. And Tani Nami Halki, the Bryce that says a similar idea, Ariel Shehiza Hazah K'sheira. An Ariel who does the Hazah, the sprinkling of the Paraduma, is an effective Hazah. Umay Sahaya, and there once was, in fact, such a ma'isa when Ariel took the parduma and started sprinkling it, and the chomer machshir the saying it was a good hazah. So Gemara asks on Meisive Tumtum, back to Tumtum now. Shekidush kedusha of apostle. So this is going to be what we're talking about. This is a different topic. Let's see. Okay, so let's see. Tumtum shekidush kedusha apostle. Kiddush Shekidush Kiddush of Pasul, the Neshu Safik Ariel. Against what we saw earlier, that a Ketumdin who gets married is actually not a good marriage because it's Safik Ariel. I'm sorry, not Kiddushin. Kiddush Kiddush of referring to the Kiddush of the Paraduma, the Mechatas of the Paraduma. He does She'ir of, as you said before, She'ir of Eifar Par. He mixed together the ashes with the special waters of Paraduma. If he does that, it's a Pasul Kiddush. Why, says the Braisa, Nepeshu Safik Ariel, the Ariel Pasuk Lakodesh? Because he's a question whether he's an Ariel, and an Ariel is not allowed to do the Kodesh. So for that reason, Midin Safik, we say it's a disqualified Kiddush.
But Ariel is Kasher,
but he can't do the Kiddush. Very, very good point. There are different stages. The way you draw water from the Paraduma, you burn the Paraduma, you mix them together, and then you start sprinkling them.
So the sprinkling
is okay, but for some reason the Kiddush, the Eir of Eifer, is not permitted. Okay. So he's not allowed to do the Kiddush of. And then an Ariel is possible to Kodesh. Fine. A Drogonus, who is an individual who has both genders, Shekiddush, Kiddush of Kasher, there it's allowed because the Zachar element of him, he's mahol in regards to that. It's only an Ariel that doesn't prevent it. It's not nothing to do with him being a woman or not. It has to do with being a mahol, and he is mahol, a non-drogonous.
It's strange.
Yeah?
To see such a thing.
Oh, yeah, it happens.
It's interesting to
You
know, what is that? What that mean?
Right. Then the Gemara says, continuing, this is meant to be a question. We haven't gotten to the question yet, I don't think. That's all according to the Tanna Kama. Comes along with Yehuda Omer, he says, Af androgynous shekidesh kiddusha psulim, nibnesh yosafik isha, v'isha psulim nikadesh. He says differently, androgynous einachanami, whatever zachar he has in him, is mahol, but he also has an element of being an isha, and an isha is psulim nikadesh, so that's why an androgynous is disqualified from doing the kiddush. Katani miha, however, we could draw from this brisa, an arel, v'safik arel, Pasul Mekadesh. See here, an Ariel may not do Kadosh. So Gemara is assuming, just like Kiddush can be done, the mixing of the Afer and the Para and the water can be done together, so too he shouldn't be able to do the Hazah either, like we said above. Above we said an Ariel is allowed to do Hazah. Here we said he can't do the Kiddush, and we're saying, Hu Adin, he can't do the Hazah. So says the Gemara, Amar of Yosef, Hai Tana, who's the author of this Braisa? Tana de Rabbi Kiva, who? Dimar Bilele Ariel, Kitamed. The second Bryce that we asked the question is referring to Rabbi Kiva, who has a unique sheet that when it comes to an Ariel is not only Pasul, an Ariel is considered as if he is Tame. And since he considers him to be Tame, just like a Tame person can do Paraduma, so to an Ariel can do Paraduma. That's only according to the second Bryce. According to the first presentation, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, an Ariel may do Hazah, and seemingly he could also do the Kiddush. An Ariel is completely Kasher, he's not considered a person who's Tame. How do we know that Rabbi Kiva holds an Ariel is like a Tame? The Gemara says, Ish Zetanya, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ish, what's Ish referring to? This is referring to Ish, I'm reading the side now, Ish Mizer Aaron, a member of the Kuna, Hu Tarua Ozab Kachim, Lo Yochal Adashe Yetar, he cannot eat Kachim until he becomes Tahar. So Ish comes to include, what's the double Ashram? Comes to include that even Larabos Ariel, even an Ariel has the same din as a Tameh, and he cannot eat Chuma and Kachim. That's according to Rabbi Kiva. Okay, and Rashi points out even an afilu negia, an aral can't even touch the truma. Not only can he not eat it, not can he not only do the paraduma, he also can't even touch it. That's how far Rabbi Kiva is willing to say that an aral is just like a tame. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Rava hava yisivna kamed Rav Yosef. I was once sitting in front of Rav Yosef, v'kashali, and I had a question. Lo l'shame tana, listen to aral v'atame. Is there ever a Tana who taught Arav Atame and who left it out and we said it's Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, what's a better way to say this? So is there never a Tana anywhere that teaches Arav Atame that they're equal in terms of Isser V'Negiyah? Let's see how Rashi says this. So Rashi is Lo Lishtame, a few narrow lines from the bottom. Lo Lishtame. Im isa the Rabbi Kiva, he says in the pause, makes it a little bit clearer to say, if it's true that Rabbi Kiva holds of this, l'chol mili aril katame, mashrilei, that they're completely equated, lo l'shamei tana ba'alma d'lisnei linin maga tumas harel v'tame kidade, you should never find anywhere a tana that says both aril and tame are like each other, v'neimu Rabbi Kiva hi, v'midlo ashachan hachi hacha m'shim chumar d'parahi aval inin maga tshuma aril mutter. You never find anywhere then Ariel is like a tame, then Ariel is not allowed to touch a chuma. We never find that anywhere. Then Ariel can't touch chuma. The fact that we never find that anywhere tells us that the fact that Ariel is disqualified from Paraduma is only a chumra by Paraduma. But in general, an Ariel is not like a tame. In general, we don't think Ariel, who touches chuma, is going to be metame. That was a question that Rava had asked Rav Yosef. So what's the response? Velo, is it really not true? Hakatani ha'Ariel v'atame p'tur min Ariel? We do find situations where Ariel and Tame are viewed as separate individuals. We don't lump them together. Regards to Biptur, Minhariya, that they both are don't have to bring the carbon Ria when they go to Shalash Regalim. So Gemara says, Hasam Mishum Demois. That case only because an Ariel, not because Ariel has a din of a Tuma, a Tame. Ariel doesn't have a din of a Tame. An Ariel is just Mois. It's disgusting. The fact is, Ariel is no way to show yourself in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mara says now, Ozlu Tamayu, and they all go according to their reasoning. Now this is going back to now we're done with Ariel and Tamay. We're going back now. Rashi tells us to the Machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbanan regarding Androgynous. We said above that Androgynous, according to the Tanakhama, may do the Paraduma because he's considered Mahol, and Rabbi Yehuda felt that since he's a Safak Isha and an Isha cannot do Paraduma, Androgynous should therefore possible. So Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama go according to the reasoning elsewhere. What's the reasoning elsewhere? The Gemara says, "Odzul Tamayo." The time the Brisa teaches us, "Hakol Ksherin LeKodesh Chutz MiChayishot VeKatam." Everyone is able to do Kodesh except for these three individuals. But Androgynous seemingly would be allowed to do it according to the Tanakhama. Comes on Rabbi Yehuda, "Machshir BeKatan No Katan Mei Upolz BeIsha Uba Androgynous." He disqualifies a woman and Androgynous from performing the Paraduma. So we see it's a Machlokas, same Machlokas here. My time, dear Rabbanan. What's the reason, Rabbanan? Said this, Dechsiva V'lachu L'tamei Me'efar Srefas Hachatas. So they should take for the Tamei, the person who's Tamei, from the ashes or the dirt or the ashes of the burning of the Chatas. Hanach D'Pasli Basiva P'sul M'kiddush. Those who are disqualified from gathering the ashes are also disqualified from mixing the ashes with the water. Hanach D'Ksherim Basiva K'sherim M'kiddush. Those who are mutter to gather the ashes are also mutter to mix it with the water. And since we know that Rashi points out the Gemara is in humor for those who remember that a Katan and a Cheresh and Shoter, all of these are disqualified from doing the gathering, they're also going to be disqualified from doing the mixing. But a woman...
What kind of a sifa is that?
What?
What kind of a sifa?
Sifa? After you burn the ashes, you have to gather them together and put them in a clear or something. I don't know exactly how it works.
Put who? Put what?
All the ashes of the burnt Paraduma, you have to gather them together into a clear.
No, but...
Right, Ketanim are able to. Or sorry, are not able to, rather.
No, I think Asifa is gathering.
Gathering. Asifa is gathering. He says whoever can do gathering can do the Kiddush.
Oh,
whoever can't,
whoever
can't.
Can do gathering of the ashes, whatever the process is.
Right. Since a woman may do the gathering, they should also do the Kodesh. And for that reason, Tanakhama thinks an androgynous may do the Kiddush, because on one hand, if he's a male, he has a Mila. And if he's a woman could do gathering anyways. So no matter how it is, how whatever status the androgynous is, may do the Kiddush. But according to Yehuda, what's his reasoning? The Gemara says, Yehuda, Amar Lacha, Im Kain, if that's the case, name a Krav Lakach. Just say Lakach. My V'lachu, why do you have to say V'lachu in the plural? Da'afidu Hanukh T'Psul and Hasam, K'sherim Hacha. Even those who are Pasul there are kosher here. Aha. So Rashi is regarding a katan. Even though a katan may not do the sifa, the katan may do the kiddush. So Gemara says, Ihachi Ishinami. So if you're including more people to do the kiddush, so why don't you include a woman also? And then therefore an androgynous as well. Gemara says, because it says, V'nasa v'lo nasna. He should give and not she. So therefore an isha is pasul. And we're running out of time. Let's see. Maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow's a short daf, so maybe we'll stop here and we'll review these last few lines before we pick it up. Okay, shkoyach.